In a world where arrest records follow you forever, Dale C. Carson offers a rare insider's perspective that could save your life, or at least your future employment prospects. As both a former FBI agent and current defense attorney, Carson's Arrest Proof Yourself has become something of an underground classic among civil rights advocates and legal professionals alike. Celebrities from Jay-Z to Bryan Cranston have reportedly recommended this unconventional guide, which has gained particular relevance in our era of mass incarceration and digital surveillance. What makes this book uniquely powerful is its pragmatic approach. Carson isn't interested in debating policy or politics, but rather in keeping ordinary people from having their lives derailed by an increasingly aggressive criminal justice system that he describes as a plantation designed to trap the unwary in perpetual servitude. The criminal justice system has evolved into something far more dangerous than most Americans realize. Once arrested, your information enters FBI databases permanently, regardless of whether charges are dropped, you're acquitted, or records are sealed. This digital record creates what Carson calls the electronic plantation, perhaps the most insidious development in modern law enforcement. Unlike physical incarceration, which eventually ends, the electronic plantation follows you forever. Every time you apply for a job, housing, or education, your arrest record appears. Employers typically view arrests as equivalent to convictions, even when no crime was proven. This has destroyed one of America's greatest features, the opportunity for second chances. The system needs bodies to justify its existence. Each arrested person generates significant revenue. Federal inmates bring over $150 daily to local facilities. Everyone from cops to guards to clerks makes a living off arrestees. Even on probation, you remain owned by the system, subject to searches without warrants while paying monthly fees to your outdoor jailers. Your fingerprints serve as an indelible electronic tattoo marking you as plantation property. The Automated Fingerprint Identification System, AFIS, converts fingerprint patterns into numbers, allowing instant identification. Police cruisers now carry portable computers connected to government databases, and soon fingerprint scanners will be wireless and portable. This means anyone previously fingerprinted has a universal ID that cannot be faked, allowing police and employers to instantly access all records with a quick scan. The result is a permanent second-class citizenship for anyone who's been arrested, even if innocent. Your information spreads to government agencies and private companies worldwide, restricting you to unskilled labor, digging holes, pouring concrete, flipping burgers for life. As Carson bluntly puts it, a police cruiser door is the magic portal to permanent servitude. Once through it, you lose freedom and anonymity forever. To avoid arrest, you must first understand that cops are fundamentally hunters who love making arrests. Their station displays showcase weapons and tools for catching criminals, machine guns, pistols, sniper rifles, surveillance gear, not community harmony photos. For officers, arresting people isn't just work, it's thrilling. Breaking down doors with a ram at night, watching suspects scatter like cockroaches, provides an adrenaline rush comparable to sex. When shifts get slow, they flush rabbits by targeting likely stolen vehicles, creating their own excitement through pursuits. Police work offers primordial male activities, hunting, fighting, protecting the tribe, backed by courts, jails, and the entire state apparatus. Officers are evaluated almost exclusively by arrest numbers. They get paid, promoted, and earn status through these metrics. For them, making arrests is like playing pinball with different point values for different catches. Traffic tickets, 1 point, misdemeanor arrests, 2 points, felony arrests, 3 points, with bonus points for outstanding warrants or finding contraband. While departments deny having quotas, they definitely keep score. The best cops don't think about making America safer. They simply go out to score points in this game of police pinball. This explains why marijuana arrests are so common. Stone detainees are likely to have other contraband, more points, and are easier to handle than belligerent drunks. police work offers intensity unmatched in civilian life. Officers witness birth in squad cars, save lives by stopping arterial bleeding, and see human emotions at their rawest extremes. They hold dying people, hear final words, and experience death intimately. They routinely encounter evil, looking into the empty eyes of stone killers and interviewing monsters like serial murderers. This combination of hunting instinct, point-scoring motivation, and exposure to life's extremes creates a mindset most civilians can't comprehend. Understanding this psychology is your first step toward avoiding becoming prey. The clueless horde includes everyone who doesn't understand the criminal justice system, which is almost everyone except cops, prosecutors, judges, and attorneys. This cluelessness is what gets most petty offenders arrested, but fortunately, it's a set of behaviors that can be changed. Contrary to popular belief, the criminal justice system spends relatively little time arresting and sentencing serious criminals. For every major criminal arrested, hundreds of petty offenders go to jail. These clueless offenders are the system's bread and butter, providing the vast numbers that keep the criminal justice machine running. The primary behaviors that get the clueless arrested include 1. Bad manners, acting out in front of cops through cursing, hitting, or running, which turns minor incidents into arrests and misdemeanors into felonies. 2. Lousy paperwork, ignoring official mail and documents, leading to missed court dates and bench warrants. 3. No time management, missing appointments with courts, probation officers, and drug testing facilities due to lack of watches, alarm clocks, and calendars. 4. Low social backup, being alone without family, friends, or mentors who can provide guidance when trouble occurs. 5. Lousy cars, driving vehicles with mechanical problems or paperwork issues that attract police attention. 6. No address. Having no stable mailing address means missing important notices and committing administrative crimes unknowingly. 7. No attorney. Not knowing how to find or use legal representation. 8. Urban outdoor lifestyle. Hanging out on streets makes you visible to police. 9. Intoxicant choice. Marijuana is illegal and dulls motivation, causing missed appointments. 10. Bizarre appearance. Looking like a criminal attracts police attention. 11. Being plain dumb, especially when intelligence is further reduced by drugs and alcohol. The most extreme clueless individuals, whom Carson calls JITs, are extremely lacking in socialization. Though not career criminals, they spend as much time in the system because they're easy to arrest. They live entirely in the present moment, without watches, calendars, or planning abilities. Their existence is purely stimulus response. Feeling hungry means eat. Feeling bored means watch TV. Needing money means steal or work day labor. These behaviors create what Carson calls your arrestability quotient, arrest queue, which determines how likely you are to be arrested based on behaviors and attitudes rather than ethnicity or skin color. The higher your arrest queue score, the more arrestable you are. While acknowledging lingering racism in the justice system, Carson notes there's less overt discrimination than at any time in history, with diverse officers at every level of law enforcement, from beat cops to police chiefs and federal agents. He advises that individual officer racism, while real, is their personal problem, not something that can be effectively addressed during a brief encounter. Modern police racism manifests more subtly through pretextual stops and disproportionate searches of minorities, which, though degrading and frustrating, typically proves less devastating than actual arrest and prosecution. The author argues that minorities face disproportionate police attention not primarily because of race, but because of higher cluelessness rates stemming from historical disadvantages and generational poverty. Black Americans have only recently, within the last 50-60 years, gained full voting rights and begun to acquire wealth and property in significant numbers. This delayed access to resources means many lack what Carson calls the armor against misfortune: comprehensive insurance coverage, substantial savings accounts, and relationships with competent attorneys who can intervene early in legal troubles. Middle and upper class minorities who maintain legal vehicles, display professional demeanor, and strictly avoid carrying contraband can go years without significant police interactions. While they may experience more frequent traffic stops, these rarely escalate to arrests. The truly clueless, regardless of racial background, get arrested because they represent what officers call low-hanging fruit, easy arrests that help meet departmental quotas with minimal effort. Officers, pressured by supervisors for arrest statistics, naturally gravitate toward obvious violations. Profiling practices infuriate minority communities, but law enforcement continues these tactics because they produce results. People largely conform to behavioral and appearance-based stereotypes. Young men displaying gang affiliations through tattoos and colors are statistically more likely to be engaging in criminal activity than elderly professionals in business attire. Carson notes that modern profiling increasingly emphasizes behavioral indicators, dress choices, and attitude rather than racial characteristics, as criminal enterprises tend to develop similar patterns across demographic lines. Meanwhile, middle and upper class criminals frequently avoid arrest by engaging in crimes that street level police aren't equipped to detect or investigate. Sophisticated financial fraud schemes, insurance scams, mortgage manipulation, investment fraud, prescription drug diversion, complex embezzlement, coordinated identity theft operations, professional money laundering networks, mid-level drug distribution operations, organized immigrant trafficking, and various white-collar crimes. Their key advantage lies in the invisible nature of these crimes. They can't be spotted by regular patrol officers in marked cars doing routine surveillance. Carson offers three essential rules that, if followed, dramatically reduce your chances of arrest. 1. If cops can't see you, they can't arrest you. 2. Keep your dope at home. 3. Tell cops your name and basic info, then shut up. The first rule is fundamental. Police target suspects based on three factors: visibility, the crook profile, and incongruity. The most basic principle is that if cops can't see you, they can't arrest you. It really is that simple. When you look like a criminal or appear out of place, police will investigate. Most arrests involve automobiles during traffic stops, so learning to arrest-proof your car is essential. The crook profile works because criminals often display obvious tells: carrying large boxes without handcarts, wearing socks on hands to avoid fingerprints, toting stereos on foot, carrying items in pillowcases, or wearing inappropriate clothing like heavy coats in hot weather. Furtive behaviors that trigger police attention include suddenly swallowing something when officers appear, concealing your face, changing direction abruptly, having weapon-shaped bulges, or carrying tools without a toolbox. While civilians become confused by incongruities, cops are curious predators who investigate anything unusual. Their familiarity with regular patrol areas makes them highly sensitive to things that don't belong. The second golden rule, keep your dope at home, addresses drug possession, the single largest cause of arrests in America. Never carry illegal substances in your car or on your person. Keep them at home where police need warrants to search. Never carry prescription medications outside their labeled containers. It's illegal in many states unless you have the written prescription with you. The third golden rule, tell cops your name and basic info, then shut up, is the same advice defense attorneys charge millions for, but offered here before you're arrested. Unlike lying to parents or friends, lying to police never works. Cops assume people lie, ask probing follow-up questions, verify information through technology, and apply psychological pressure during questioning. When you lie, you hesitate while inventing details, your body language betrays you, and you exude fear that officers can detect. Lying triggers the hunting instinct in police and transforms routine stops into arrests with multiple charges. Truth bores cops, and that's exactly what keeps you free. When confronted by police, specific magic words can serve as powerful tools to prevent self-incrimination and reduce arrest risk. Begin with, "Officer, have I done something wrong?" A polite, submissive question that forces officers to explain themselves while showing respect. This approach immediately establishes a professional tone while protecting your rights. After asking, stop talking completely to avoid nervous babbling, which often leads to unintended admissions or inconsistencies. While you have the constitutional right to remain silent, it's strategic to answer basic identification questions truthfully but briefly when innocent. Your legal name, never use street nicknames or aliases, current address, immediate family members, and destination. These basic facts are already available to law enforcement, and withholding them only creates unnecessary tension. If questioning becomes intense, rapid-fire, or moves beyond basic identification, respectfully invoke your right to counsel. Officer, I'd like to answer your questions, but my mother, attorneys, told me not to say anything unless she, they are present. For juveniles, mentioning a parent is particularly effective. This response signals legal awareness while maintaining a respectful demeanor that avoids antagonizing officers. Practice these responses regularly with friends or family in role-playing scenarios, as almost everyone faces police questioning eventually. Remember that law enforcement officers operate on information exchange. They never give up information for free and only cooperate as part of negotiated deals. Understanding and adopting similar tactical restraint can protect your interests. Carson emphasizes creating comprehensive street creds, credentials that establish credibility with police and should accompany your official ID. These should be professionally printed on quality paper and kept clean and readable. When stopped, hand police both your ID and street cred simultaneously, or clearly ask permission before reaching for them to avoid any misinterpretation of movements. Stand quietly and calmly while officers review the documents, answering any follow-up questions briefly and directly if asked. These credentials serve multiple purposes. They interrupt the standard interrogation process, help maintain your dignity, and signal you're an informed citizen who understands the system. They demonstrate you have substantial social support networks, family, religious institutions, educational connections, and employment references. Most critically, they show you've lawyered up in advance, making you a less attractive target for aggressive questioning. Your street cred should include full legal name, current address, guardian information for minors, school or employer details, place of worship if applicable, and relevant phone numbers for verification. The most powerful additions are contact information for a criminal defense attorney, specifically avoiding personal injury or other legal specialties, and, if possible, a police officer acquaintance, as law enforcement typically shows professional courtesy to avoid confrontations with colleagues' associates. Update these credentials regularly to maintain accuracy and credibility. Traffic enforcement isn't primarily about citizen safety, it's about catching criminals. For cops, traffic stops are exciting opportunities to make major arrests, since serious crimes typically involve vehicles that transport drugs, guns, money, stolen property, or fugitives. The traffic code contains thousands of infractions, many petty or catch-all violations that make perfect compliance nearly impossible. The paperwork system, licenses, registrations, plates, primarily exists to allow government inspection and fee collection. For the clueless, minor violations quickly escalate into suspended licenses, arrests, and incarceration. When police appear in your rearview mirror, your next actions determine whether you'll be pulled over. Behaviors that trigger stops include head bobbles, nervously watching police, reaching movements inside the vehicle, sudden braking, driving too perfectly, throwing items from windows, having multiple young males in the vehicle, carrying heavy loads that tilt the car, using dark-tinted windows, slouching to hide, using turn signals too scrupulously, having squeaky brakes, driving vehicles that don't match your appearance, driving too slowly, or making obscene gestures at police. To avoid police attention, drive normally with the flow of traffic, keep hands visible on the steering wheel, ease off gas without braking if speeding, avoid sudden turns or lane changes, sit up straight, remove vehicle identifiers like custom decorations that make you stand out, avoid staring at police, remove any drug paraphernalia from carpooling vehicles, keep windows untinted, fix broken lights, turn off dashboard screens, keep registration current, avoid crook wheels like expensive rims, keep music volume reasonable, limit drinking before driving, avoid backseat romance, and complete any body work properly. For routine traffic stops, pull over immediately from the right lane. Women at night can use flashers and drive slowly to a well-lit area. Turn off the motor and roll down window. Keep hands visible on the steering wheel. Make no sudden movements or reaching motions. Follow instructions precisely. Don't argue. And always sign the ticket, which is merely a receipt, not an admission of guilt. Not signing can result in immediate arrest. Vehicle searches are the most common reason routine traffic stops escalate into arrests. Officers use practiced, casual-sounding questions to establish grounds for searches. The first question is typically, "Do you have any guns or narcotics in the car?" This leads to the money shot. "Then you won't mind if I make a search, will you?" If your car is clean, allowing the search is simplest. If refusing, do so politely with a legitimate reason you need to leave. "Officers, I apologize for the traffic violation. I have answered your questions and cooperated with you in every way. However, I am late and urgently have to be going. Are we finished? May I go now?" Vehicle searches are the most common reason routine traffic stops escalate into arrests. Officers use practiced, casual-sounding questions to establish grounds for searches. The first question is typically, "Do you have any guns or narcotics in the car?" This leads to the money shot. "Then you won't mind if I make a search, will you?" If your car is clean, allowing the search is simplest. If refusing, do so politely with a legitimate reason you need to leave. "Officers, I apologize for the traffic violation. I have answered your questions and cooperated with you in every way. However, I am late and urgently have to be going. Are we finished? May I go now?" When conventional approaches fail, these emergency procedures may help avoid arrest for minor offenses. The first and most effective option is requesting a notice to appear instead of immediate arrest. This alternative allows you to attend court without being processed through the system immediately. When making this request, be completely honest about your situation. Emphasize if you're a first-time offender, have dependent children or elderly parents to care for, maintain steady employment, or have strong community ties. Providing verifiable details about your responsibilities and character can significantly influence the officer's decision. If granted a notice to appear, treating it with utmost seriousness is crucial. Missing your court date triggers an automatic bench warrant, transforming a minor issue into a significant legal problem. Prepare thoroughly for your hearing. Wear business attire, suit, or conservative dress clothes. Arrive at least 30 minutes early and maintain absolute sobriety. Your demeanor and presentation matter significantly. Speak clearly, address the judge as Your Honor, and show genuine remorse if appropriate. In truly desperate situations, authentic emotional displays may influence outcomes, though this should never be fabricated. For those facing immediate arrest, several last resort options exist. The controversial tactic of soiling oneself might deter officers from transport, though this carries obvious social and dignity costs. If confronted with excessive force, protective measures become critical. Curl into a tight fetal position, protecting your head and vital organs. Document everything immediately afterward. Photograph injuries, write detailed notes about the incident, and seek medical attention to create an official record. Contact a civil rights attorney promptly, as police vehicle cameras, body cameras, and bystander videos can provide crucial evidence for legal action against law enforcement misconduct. Regarding specific high-risk situations, Carson provides detailed preventive guidance. For those concerned about age-related offenses, establishing clear age verification protocols is essential. Always check government-issued identification early in any relationship. If discovering a partner is underage, cease all contact immediately and permanently. Even seemingly innocent communication can become prosecutorial evidence. Save no photos, delete all messages, and document your actions upon discovering the truth. In domestic situations, recognizing early warning signs of escalation is crucial. When arguments intensify, assume neighbors have already called police. Immediately cease verbal engagement, gather essential items only, and leave the premises on foot. Driving risks DUI accusations. Maintain absolute no contact for a minimum of 72 hours, allowing all parties to cool down. Material possessions can be retrieved later through proper legal channels. Prioritize avoiding any situation that could result in arrest. Document all interactions and keep copies of any threatening messages received, as these may become important evidence for your defense. Though primarily focused on helping individuals avoid arrest rather than reforming the system, Carson offers several needed changes to criminal justice. These include abolishing probation, which has become a funnel back into the criminal justice sausage grinder, implementing a 3-citation system before arrest for minor offenses, creating drug courts outside the criminal justice system, decriminalizing small quantities of drugs, establishing cluelessness management courses, compressing court proceedings into single hearings, restricting access to arrest records that don't lead to convictions, ending police promotion based on arrest quantity, making prosecutors available 24/7, and developing specialized court phones to help defendants remember court dates. Probation was meant to be humane, but has become a funnel back into the criminal justice system. It requires skills clueless people lack: time management, calendaring, good manners, and things they don't have, like phones and reliable transportation. The system traps offenders. They choose probation over jail time, inevitably violate probation conditions, then get VOPAPed back with felony charges and longer sentences. It's not freedom, it's outdoor jail. Minor offenses like small drug possession should merit citations rather than arrests, with thumbprints and photos taken on the spot. This system saves clueless people from incarceration, tags them without an arrest record, keeps information out of state and federal systems, and directs police to focus on serious offenders. After 3 citations, chronic offenders would face arrest. America urgently needs privacy laws restricting arrest records that don't lead to convictions. These records should be available only to law enforcement, not private companies, individuals, or even judges who routinely consider prior arrests when sentencing, which is an outrage. In the meantime, Carson's advice remains clear: stay free, because that's what America's all about. Learn from this book, avoid unnecessary police contact, and remember the golden rules that will keep you off the electronic plantation for life.